I don't know if an outgoing senior or graduate student has ever been serenaded by Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, as Sam Hartman was today in the fourth quarter when he exited the game. But that shows the embrace the crowd had for him in his only season in South Bend. 45-7 today on Senior Day, John. This is Tim O'Malley of Irish Illustrated with John Bryce of FootballScoop.com and Irish Illustrated. And maybe it's not fair to say a slow start, but it wasn't a fast start. They had to get on track a little bit. And when they did, John, I think the turning point was the crossover from end of first half to beginning of second half, where Notre Dame took 6 points away, or did a 6-point swing, and then also created the biggest turnover of the game.
Yeah, I thought significant that Notre Dame recaptured some of its aggressiveness, starting with Marcus Freeman on down late in the first half, calling the timeouts, forcing Wake to attempt a field goal, getting the block by Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And, of course, Mr. Magnet, Xavier Watts, picks it up, scoops it, returns the block kick 20 yards. Notre Dame puts together a 10-play, 51-yard drive to kick a field goal, pad its lead at the half, comes out, onside kick, more aggressiveness, doesn't lead directly to points, flips the field, and then bam, Notre Dame gets a turnover, scores immediately thereafter, and the Irish were off to the races in a 45-7 win, in which they had four consecutive offensive possessions score and five consecutive offensive possessions with a chance to score.
And once again, the defense made it easy for the offense, because if you're going to hold your opponent to under 100 yards passing, as someone mentioned postgame, in a non-triple option affair in modern college football, that's some quality defense. That's what the Irish played, especially at home. As a colleague pointed out, 8 touchdowns allowed in 6 home games this year. And you can say, well, they played some teams that weren't good at home. That's 2 for USC, 2 for Ohio State. Those are a couple of very good offenses. It's the defense has had a great year. The pass defense has only allowed 7 touchdowns all season. This was not their toughest test by any measure, but it's been the one consistent part of this team. And John, you make a great point. Regaining some of that confidence was crucial for the Irish offense, because that's been the inconsistent part of this squad.
Yeah, and again, it was so vastly needed. And don't take my word for it. Take the words of Sam Hartman postgame, who said, "I believe this was a noteworthy performance by our offense." And Hartman going 21 for 29 with 4 touchdown passes, the trio of rookie receivers combining for 15 catches, 212 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Now, Notre Dame has to propel this forward. Notre Dame has to perpetuate this success, and I think it has to perpetuate the aggressiveness. I thought we saw more aggressive play calling today. I thought we saw Sam Hartman be a little more aggressive in pushing the ball downfield within those plays, and I just thought Notre Dame looked like it played with something to prove, and now it has to carry that forward.
John, I want to bring this up now because Eddie Davis points it out. The last drive of the first half was important, even if it had a lackluster ending. If you did not see that, as John pointed out, JJB with a block, Xavier Watts 20 yards on the return. Notre Dame drives right down the field. Rico Flores was big there as well, converting on third down. Jaden Greathouse caught his first pass. I think it was his first pass of the game at the time for 16 yards. Notre Dame spikes it on first down, at which point we kind of talked to each other and thought, 26 seconds, one timeout left. Maybe you don't spike it with your sixth-year senior. But that's 6 and 1/2 dozen the other. The problem is they then called their timeout after the spike. So it was second down, losing the timeout. And when Sam Hartman tried to avoid a sack and did a heck of a job throwing the ball with his left hand to throw it away to a receiver in the area holding stays, just situational and awareness. You can't really blame the effort, but you can maybe blame the thought process there. As Holden Stays dives for a 4-yard loss on the catch. And obviously from that point forward, it was only field goal time. But it's still a 6-point swing.
Yeah, and Tim, as you and I discussed post-game, it's quite possible Holden Stays maybe thought that was a fumbled ball.
That was a great point you made that I did not consider, yeah.
That maybe he thought Sam Hartman got hit and the ball got knocked forward, and he made that lunging effort to ensure that Notre Dame retained possession. We don't know that, and you're taught to try and make those plays and possess the ball, protect the ball. It worked out okay for Notre Dame. That series within that drive certainly fizzled and could have been handled better, but Spencer Schrader bounced back from an earlier miss, made what I thought was a very important field goal going into half, particularly as Wake was scheduled to get first possession to open the second half. So, again, Notre Dame made winning plays in all three phases today, but it's the most winning plays we've seen from the Notre Dame throw game in well over a month.
Yeah, and I think it's important how they did it. We talked about this briefly on Instant Analysis. Let's start with Flores, because this was obviously his biggest game. 8 catches, 102 yards. No touchdown. That's important as we keep going. I like the way he played, because that's the way Rico Flores Jr. is going to make contributions for 4 years at Notre Dame, carving up defenses on catch and runs, 15-yard gains, 22-yard gains, 18-yard gains. Look, he's had a 60-yard gain this year on a really nice catch and run, but what Flores Jr. will be able to bring in the future, hopefully, against the top teams they play, will be that reliable chain mover. And it sounds almost pejorative these days, reliable chain mover. I don't mean 9 yards and fall down. I think Rico Flores can really be an important cog in the offense going forward.
Yeah, he can generate those chunk plays. And I thought it showed maybe it was the bye week and some extra work. I'm not sure. I thought that Sam Hartman early on displayed more trust in Rico Flores than maybe what he was willing to showcase the last time we saw this team on the field a couple of weeks ago at Clemson. And so I thought Rico did a lot to reward Sam's trust today. I thought the offense worked together and rewarded one another in that regard. But again, the guys making catches today made really big plays that they had to make. And there were not really any moments that I can recall right off the top of my head where you heard that collective groan that we've heard more than once in a press box this year over Notre Dame's offense, be it a dropped ball or be it just a horrendously thrown pass or what have you. There weren't those collective groans today. That's because for whatever the reasons, and hopefully for Notre Dame's sake, it can bottle them up, but they executed and they were efficient.
Yeah, and Flores Jr. in the end, 2 third down conversions, which are important, 5 first downs, going over 100 yards, and it's popping up on our chat here, of course. It hasn't been since the Fiesta Bowl when a guy named Lorenzo Styles and Kevin Austin both went over 100 yards as receivers, and it did a running back named Chris Tyree as well in that game. So it's been that long. I thought Jordan Faison, you featured him a little bit in our pregame incident analysis. They clearly wanted to get him the ball early. He had a 5-yard gain, a 6-yard gain. He drew a pass interference. We forgot to talk about that, a 15-yard pass interference on a deep route that was underthrown. They tried to get him once in the corner. And then Steve Angeli threw a beautiful ball to Jordan Faison for the last score.
Yeah, and Faison is a guy that is up there with Tyree, particularly on that side of the ball in terms of the most top-end speed. It's going to be Faison, Tyree, and maybe Love, and then Price lurking right behind that. So he's a guy, again, as these defenses do more to pack the box and show make Notre Dame show it can actually beat you throwing the football. He has the potential to do more things to take the top off of the defense. They're still growing his role. He's earned that growth of role. He's earned that on the practice field in recent weeks where they've talked about just everything is clicking so much better for him. And he's really, as someone said, a sponge. He's soaking everything up and then he's translating it onto the field. And this is an interesting point made to me that I, again, had not thought of. They're like, well, he's been a lacrosse guy. He doesn't necessarily have some of the bad habits that you have to coach out when you get to the college level. So everything is so new to him, he's able to take it and absorb it and then translate it to the field.
Also, big bounce back after just a month at least of bad hamstring issues for Jaden Greathouse. I know he's been playing. He obviously was not himself. This is Jaden Greathouse's first 5 games through Ohio State. 8 first down gains, 1 since coming to this game, and it was on a pass interference. Jaden Greathouse also in those first 5 games had 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 chunk gains, none since the Ohio State game. I keep track of drive MVPs where I see who the best player was on each drive, a scoring drive. Jaden Greathouse had 5 going to Ohio State, none since Ohio State. Today he was 3 catches, 3 first downs, 1 touchdown, and he looked very fast on that 48-yard catch and run. That's the fastest I've seen Greathouse look. And I know he has underrated football speed, no matter what his track speed would be. Yeah. But he was really moving on that one.
He was. And let's remember, the defender had the angle on him, and Jaden outran the angle. And that lets you know, football speed or whatever speed, when you can outrun the angle. And I think the defender was very cognizant of the fact that Jaden Greathouse is a bigger frame. So he was trying to decide how best to try to get him down. And Jaden just removed that from the equation and took the edge from him and coasted on into the end zone. Significant.
And then I think at Irish Illustrated, maybe every message board across the country that's Notre Dame-centric, Eli Raridan has been the one people have been waiting for to break out. I didn't really even notice this until weeks ago that he only been targeted once in his career. Now, it makes a lot of sense because he played 5 games, then got hurt, and he played 4 games basically while coming back from injury until this game. First 3 catches of his career today, and one of the prettiest passes of the year, and probably the biggest relief touchdown for the Notre Dame offensive staff. Jared Parker as his position coach and Eli Raridan himself. That was a really nice corner out 19-yard score. And it was the most important score of the game. It followed the fumble recovery, the forced fumble, J.D. Bertrand, fumble recovery by Riley Mills, 24-7 at the time.
And again, that was a play. It was well designed, well executed, but it still took a very nice throw from Sam Hartman. And it took trust again from Sam Hartman and Eli Raritan that he was going to make that play and that he could trust him in the back corner of the end zone the way that he did. Again, very significant, very much a symbol of growth. And it's early on, and there's only been two or three bye weeks that Marcus Freeman has had to come out of and come out of off of a loss. But this is a team that seems to find a way to play some of its best football coming out of its open dates.
And at home, because they've been a very good team at home as opposed to the road. They're going on the road, obviously, for Stanford. We're going to get to that later. We mentioned on instant analysis, there's a bit of a flip. Stanford can score points. They're not going to be able to stop Notre Dame if Notre Dame plays like this, though. And that's really the most important thing, is that Notre Dame walks into Stanford, as you point out, confident offensively. We are 11 minutes in. We didn't mention Tobias Merriweather had a post-route touchdown. That means Notre Dame had a good day offensively. It's also important that Merriweather caught a couple other balls, including one for a first down. I said the biggest surprise this year for me would be, this was pre-Clemson, not if he has a big play, if he follows it the next week with another big play, because that has been the issue for Merriweather. Mm-hmm. He's got a chance against Stanford, but that was a big play today. It looked like the Merriweather we thought we would see coming into the season.
Yeah, and the touchdown was significant, but I might have liked the first down catch better. He had to come back to the ball. He had a defender right on him. I think a lot of times that's a play we would have thought, almost expected, Tobias Merriweather might drop that pass on the sideline there, but he didn't. He corralled it. He got the first down. He helped them move the sticks. And then, he beat his defender badly in the middle of the field, and Sam Hartman laid it out there. And Tobias waited on it a little bit and made the catch, secured the catch, even with the defender closing.
And I'm going to borrow from a colleague here, because the crowd loves Sam Hartman. Notre Dame Stadium loves Sam Hartman. And as one colleague joked with me when I said, well, they like him more than our message board and Twitter does, he said, well, of course they do. Sam Hartman's great here. Sam Hartman has had a heck of a year playing in South Bend, Indiana. And kudos to him for capping it off today. 21-29, four touchdowns, no picks. That was Sam Hartman in September. Four touchdowns, no picks, 277 yards. Controlled the game, as you said, not sacked. He avoided one sack on what ended up being an unfortunate play. But that was a heads-up play by Hartman. I think he thought he had a free play touchdown on one play as well, when it clearly looked like Wake Forest jumped off sides.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it was whistled for a penalty. He was the Sam Hartman we saw earlier in the year today.
He was. And again, that was the offense we saw earlier in the year. Now, look, it wasn't Jaden Thomas. He played today, but he's still not fully there. And it wasn't as much Tobias Merriweather or even Chris Tyree today. But it was the offense we saw earlier in the year with a chance to get a glimpse of guys that are all scheduled to be back next year and that all have a chance to be nucleus components of this offense moving forward.
I think it was pretty funny. Hartman postgame told some actually funny stories that will appear on our pages at irishillustrated.com. But he also noted of Steve Angeli's beautiful throw to Faison that Angeli should maybe consider retiring, hanging it up right now because he has the best stats he's ever seen. But it's notable that Steve Angeli's last two games in the stadium, Pitt and Wake, I think 9 for 10, two touchdowns, both gorgeous touchdown passes. I know Notre Dame fans, some are up, some are down on getting a graduate transfer. They're going to bring in a transfer, of course, to compete. But it's good that Angeli finished this way, because Steve Angeli would not have finished last season in the same two game situations the way he did this year. He has grown as well.
And he was allowed to operate the offense. It does Steve Angeli no good to come in with 11 and a half minutes, which is what it was on the clock tonight. And as Sam Hartman is getting his curtain call, does Angeli no good to come in and just hand off to Audric Estime or Jabron Payne or Jadarian Price or whomever and orchestrate the offense that way? They let him run the offense. They let him. I think his very first snap was a pass to Rico Flores, if I'm not mistaken.
That was to go over the 100 yards.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was so critical to keep running the offense. And look, the confidence doesn't end with what's needed to restore confidence in Sam Hartman in the offense. The confidence is needed for all of those guys. So you bring Steve Angeli in. You let him keep running your offense. You let him throw some things, and you let him find Jordan Faison for a touchdown. Again, I give this coaching staff a lot of credit today for regaining their aggressiveness and their confidence to go out and help the players perform the way that they're capable.
Hopefully not the end of Angeli's season or the end of his career, but he is 22 of 27 for over 300 yards with five touchdowns this year. So that was pointed out well by Sam. And when they were serenading Hartman to Whitney Houston, Hartman was pointing at Steve Angeli. And I think he has been, say what you want about Sam Hartman's road games this year, because certainly he played very badly in two losses for Notre Dame. And he was a hero in one where they had played badly prior. Sam Hartman's been a very good teammate for Notre Dame and for that quarterback's room today. I know people question, well, what, look at all the money we spent on a graduate transfer. He has meant a lot to the room. He's meant a lot to Steve Angeli. And if Steve Angeli or Kenny Minchie wins this job going forward, Sam Hartman is going to be a big help in that.
There's no question. And I thought it was interesting insight that, Marcus Freeman provided Thursday on his Zoom when he talked about Hartman's impact and teaching them how to prepare off the field. And that's not anything we hadn't heard from Jared Parker and, Gino Gadulli and some of the others over the course of this season, including Angeli himself. But they really learned more about preparation by soaking up as much as they could from a guy like Hartman, who's in his sixth year of starting football games, not just in college football, but at the Power Five level.
Some questions and some thoughts here. I'm going to go to Xander Cruz first because we'll give him a real fast answer. He says he's not buying Angeli get a transfer. Well, good luck. They're getting transfer, so don't worry about it. You don't have to buy Angeli. They're bringing in a transfer, and then they can compete after that. My point is Steve Angeli has risen from last year at this time. There is no way that they're going to be riding with Steve Angeli somewhere too. Good job by Steve Angeli. Every time he went in, he did a good job for Notre Dame's team running their offense. Hey, there are Power Five games he was playing in. They're not good defenses in Pittsburgh and very tired Wake Forest, but he threw beautiful passes as well.
And again, something pointed out to me that I find very compelling. It was noted, look, Steve Angeli was in that class of guys that had their whole lives disrupted by COVID and didn't really get to play or have their full high school careers. And when you look at that, you think, okay, the notion was Notre Dame might have gotten a, guy to commit when he did that. Had he played his senior year, would have had some other Power Five teams coming in very, very aggressively trying to take him away from Notre Dame because he's developed into what appears to be a, very enticing prospect at the quarterback position for Notre Dame. I'm not ready to say it's his job moving.
No, forward. Well, it's not.
But he hasn't shown us anything. He hasn't shown us anything to adamantly say it cannot be his job moving forward. He's performed very well. And again, if they did not have belief and trust and faith in him, they wouldn't let him go out and orchestrate the offense the way that they did against Pittsburgh and the way that they did tonight against Wake Forest as well.
Quick answer for Cayman Beavers. Yes, Chris Tyree does have another year of eligibility. It would be his COVID year. As you know, he played plenty as a freshman in the COVID season as Kyron Williams' backup when they were 10-0 in the regular season. He has decisions to make, Chris Tyree, because he could continue to develop here. He could go somewhere at a lower level and real – I don't mean really low level. I'm saying like going to the Mountain West or going to somewhere where they don't play varied defenses every year and have a – or every week and have a very good year. He could choose to – try to go pro now. Technically speaking, he's not a pro wide receiver yet. He has the speed, though. I don't know. I could venture a guess on about 25 guys, and I cannot venture a guess on Chris Tyree. I find it's a really interesting dynamic for me that I don't know what he's going to do.
I think there's hope and optimism in the Notre Dame camp that he can return for another year. I think, again, I alluded to this on one of our videos earlier, that he's seen the development this year. He feels like he's been coached and gotten the development necessary this year, and he's seen his game grow and seen the tangible results on the field. I think that resonates with him, and I think as much as he's shown this year, he is a guy that can legitimately dramatically improve his draft stock by putting two seasons together as being a wide receiver and not just a fast guy, former running back out there catching passes.
He should play college football for another year. I'm just saying he'll run fast if he goes to the combine. So sometimes people think that that's all they need. That is not. Switching it over to the running game, because Audric Estime was the bell cow year. They kept him in to get the 100 yards. Marcus Freeman says he does not like keeping guys in to get stats. He does keep some guys in to get a little bit too long, though, every once in a while, Marcus Freeman. So I'm not sure. Maybe he's obviously not doing it for stats, because I think he could be critiqued for keeping guys in too long every once in a while. 22 for 115 and a touchdown. He went over 1,100 yards. Over 100 today was the key. And I mentioned this. It's not that big of a deal, but you do owe it to the kid, especially if it's his last season. And they're 8-3 now going in. You're not protecting a playoff spot. Who's the Doak Walker Award winner right now?
Yeah,
it might have been the kid at Texas, but he's out with a torn ACL, Brooks. I mean, that might have been the best running back in the country, but I don't know who it is.
Yeah, you've asked that question. It's a fair question to ask. Audric Estime is obviously in the running for that great award.
In the running, one of the guys in the running.
And but he's already been an ESPN midseason All-American, which usually lets you know that the people coast to coast are paying the right attention and are noticing what Audric Estime is doing. I know at one point in time, and I featured Audric on Irish Illustrated a few weeks ago, and I didn't include this, or I know at one point in time, he was the nation's leading rusher, maybe through the whole first month of the season, maybe even the first 5 weeks of the season. He had only played 46% of Notre Dame's offensive snaps, and yet he was the nation's leading rusher through multiple games of the season. Again, significant, been a superlative year for him. I think we all believe he almost certainly played his final game inside Notre Dame Stadium today. And he made a huge statement, and I don't think it can be lost either, or should be cannot be undervalued when other guys left. Audric Estime stayed and rose to the top.
Yeah, and I used the word bell cow twice now, but Audric Estime was the running game today. I really thought they looked like they wanted to get Jeremiah Love involved a little bit, but the game was there. Look, we talked about it. Wake Forest, every once in a while, they have some players on that team. They got to give you something. They were attacking the run, and Notre Dame had to beat them with the pass. And Wake Forest followed the blueprint that other ACC teams have done. Let's see if these wide receivers can beat us. This is the first time they beat them. So credit to Estime for churning out the 115 in this one. But quick housekeeping item, because we have talked about him. I think I mentioned 4 weeks ago that Devin Ford deserves a touchdown for all his work this year. They got Devin Ford a third down touchdown on a play-action pass. And it was a play-action pass, so that should make people happy.
Play-action and the wheel route, which is – darn, it's one of my favorite routes in the game, yes. And it's darn near indefensible, especially with a guy that has Devin Ford's speed. And obviously he's got good speed and ball skills, which is why he's been Notre Dame's kickoff returner for a lot of the season, and they've trusted him that way. But, yeah, perfectly executed. Sam threw it out there, nobody around, Wake bit. And, again, yes, play action and the wheel route proved to be a great combination for Notre Dame. Let's see if they keep that in the repertoire and also grow off of that.
Emotional Estime post-game, as you mentioned, will probably be his last game, as it should be, medically speaking. Running backs need to start getting their lives going in the NFL. Hopefully he didn't give anything away, because I was kind of holding out some hope here, but he said, I don't know if it's my last game, but I know it's Sam Hartman's last game. I know it's JD. I know it's some of the guys on defense's last game. He corrected himself there. Yeah. Now he might just think it's JD Bertrand's last game, because it could very well be JD Bertrand's last game. I'm not sure he's made the decision. But Estime also mentioned he wanted to go out with Alton Fisher, who he came in with. We all expect Alt. There's these little rumblings with Fisher, too, and I don't know if Estime was just talking about his friends or not, but if you're reading if you're reading into everything somebody says in a post-game press conference, that was not the best ending for Audric Estime talking to the Irish fans.
And I'll work in the next couple of weeks to try and get us some more information and insight from NFL scouts and some personnel people around the league to get a better idea of what Blake Fisher's grade is going to be. But I don't think it's going to be a great grade right now. We know Joe Alt's getting a first-round grade. Audric Estime will get a very good grade. No running backs really get first-round grades anymore, but I can see Audric Estime being a second- to third-round grade type guy. But Blake Fisher has not had the consistent season nor the body of work a lot of us expected this year. Of course, he had the injury his first year that delayed his development, and I think he needs another year of college football.
And I think it's important to note, I agree, he absolutely has to come back, and Xander Cruz and Eddie Davis and everybody else is saying he has to come back, he's not ready. When you say one person saying he's regressed, Blake Fisher has had a good year blocking in the running game. He has done a very good job blocking the run game. Now, he needs a lot of work, I think, in the pass game, because that's if you're going to be – now, he might play guard in the NFL, but you still have to block – you have to pass protect at guard. Little do people realize when they talk about pass protection in the NFL. You got to pass protect everywhere. I think Fisher needs to come back. The reason, though, we harp on Estime, if people don't understand this, and then Cam Hart, three surgeries for Cam Hart. Cam Hart can come back. Cam Hart's had his best year as a collegian. He ended last year's senior day with his third shoulder injury and third surgery that kept him in school. Those are the two people where if you're Marcus Freeman and they say, I'm not sure if I want to go or not, you should tell Audric Estime and Cam Hart, go ply your trade in the NFL. It's time. Anybody else? I made this comment before about Joe Alt. Joe Alt can never want to say someone's going to get hurt. Joe Alt could get hurt and be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Audric Estime and Cam Hart get hurt. They're not picked.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about him other than to note he recovered the block kick and advanced to 20 yards. Xavier Watts is going to have a decision to make. I'm confident in what I've heard from NFL people in recent weeks and from other college personnel people around the country. Xavier Watts absolutely is going to have a decision to make, and there's no question he could learn and grow some more at the safety position, but for what he's put up statistically, you'll never match it. You'll never match it. So from that standpoint, that was the point made to me. Like, you're going to come back after you have 7 picks, and who knows if he'll get one more one of these next two games. It's a really difficult situation to assess right now.
Well, 7 picks, 2 fumble recoveries at least, a third fumble recovery possibly, but that's Manti Te'o level. Manti Te'o, I think, was involved in 12 turnovers if you include a quarterback pressure where he caused an interception in the end zone in 2012. Watts is at 9, if not 10, in terms of causing picks, causing turnovers. Quickly about Watts. If you're doing the same thing we do with Audric Estime, just trying to read the room, Xavier Watts did not come out for senior day as a senior.
Right.
Neither did Jordan Botello or Tosh Baker. And there were some Notre Dame media relations people saying, well, they're not really seniors, they're juniors. There's plenty of seniors with eligibility left that have walked on senior day and come back, including J.D. Bertrand a couple years ago. So Watts did not come out. That's good news. If I were Xavier Watts after this year, I would strike while the iron's hot because you look like the best playmaker they could find. I hope Xavier Watts comes back because I actually think he could be an All-American. He's going to be an All-American this year. He could be a two-time All-American safety. And to be fair, once we start critiquing Xavier Watts, he's been good for 3 months.
Right.
The NFL can find guys that can beat people that have been good for 3 months. He actually could benefit. But boy, you want to talk about striking at the right time.
Yeah, and to Crazy's question about Nana, it's interesting that you note that. I also noted Nana walking off the field, tears streaming down his face. And so you could tell the emotional gravity of the situation resonated with him, and it made me also wonder, was this his last game at Notre Dame State?
I talked to two people about this. They both made good points. He did have a heavy wrap on his ankle. Perhaps his regular season is over.
Yeah,
I mean, you there's one game left in the regular season. If you have a heavy wrap on your ankle, you might know this is the last game you're playing that season, and you don't know what your decision would be.
Yeah.
The other one is he's a kid that came up from Texas and 100% embraced everything about Notre Dame and became a leader here. He might have just been extremely emotional because he's not playing with 30 other guys anymore. I mean, this is his class going out.
Right.
So ideally, because Nana Osafa-Mensah will be asked back, and Nana Osafa-Mensah is not headed to the NFL draft. A lot of guys can try to make the NFL when they don't get drafted, of course. The league's littered with it. I think he might have been emotional because he's not playing with these teams anymore. That is part of it. Now, stay with the defense before we finish up because they've had a fantastic year. They're going to get tested in Palo Alto. Stanford's up and down offensively, but they had trended up. They're an injured team, though, too. It's just they just don't have enough depth out there.
Right.
Stanford's calling card is a unique offense. Unfortunately, they're going against Al Golden, who I think will figure out the unique offense. I'd prefer to play a team like Stanford out there that can score when you have Notre Dame's incredible pass defense and defense overall than a team that can muck you up because they're stout defensively, a la Duke. I don't think this is a great matchup for Stanford. I do think it's a tougher game than what we just watched, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, it's tougher because we don't know which Notre Dame team will show up on the road.
I think
Wake is probably a more quality team top to bottom than Stanford is right now. And Stanford has had a couple of games earlier in the season where they've had some nice offensive production. But, Tim, that's what I was doing just now was checking the score of their game. I knew they'd been struggling earlier. Yep. They just have 6 points at the half now at home against Cal, and that's a Cal team that's been in some absolute shootouts. Sure, Justin Wilcox, the Cal coach, wants to lead his program with defense, but this is not one of his best defensive teams, and they've bottled up Stanford. Now, I know Stanford had another game recently where I think it only scored 10 points in the entire contest. So, Ayo Minor, the wide receiver for Stanford, is a really nice player, but this is a Stanford team that does not have depth and does not remotely have weapons or the consistency to make you truly fear it from an offensive standpoint. There is the potential there, especially if the wideout goes off and becomes uncoverable the way he did in that game against Colorado, but they have not shown that on a week-in, week-out basis.
I don't know if I've shared this with you before or with Irish Illustrated with our audience that I know their quarterback, Ashton Daniels, from when he was 2 years old in Atlanta watching his dad on the flag football field. So it'll be interesting for me. I went to see his dad, Juan, at the game last year. And Ashton actually checked in for one play, Wildcat at the goal line, but there was a timeout and he came off and they didn't hit, so he didn't get to play at Notre Dame Stadium technically, but maybe next year he could play there. So 45-7 Notre Dame, it was a complete performance statistically. It was probably three quarters of very good football for Notre Dame. I think the biggest question for me here as we end the season, because it's the last home game, is why this team was that much better and confident at home. than they were on the road.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's one Notre Dame has to get solved. This is still a juncture point in the season for Notre Dame. Needed this win today. Gives them a chance to get to 9-3. Keeps alive hopes of a 10-win season, depending your postseason destination. They need to step forward, and they can only do that by continuing to take care of business. And I think they can only do that by continuing to show the aggressiveness and confidence that we saw today. Those are the two things that I most take from this performance against Wake Forest.
Game number 500 at Notre Dame Stadium finished with the Irish winning 45-7 over Wake Forest. For John Bryce of Football Scoop and Irish Illustrated, I'm Tim O'Malley. Thank you for watching Irish Illustrated Overtime.